My people of this country, and we're under attack. They banning us, they cancel us for speaking the facts. If you man enough, come stand with us, take USA back. And every time we pull up, all you're gonna see is American flag.
Welcome to the Patriots Prayer Podcast, where today we confront the stark realities and the stark betrayals facing our nation. In a spectacle that seems to defy decency, we watch as Donald Trump, a former president of the United States, is systematically targeted. They've gone so far as to deny him basic rights any American should hold dear, like attending his own child's graduation. They're not just after Trump, they're after the principles that govern our nation. It's an orchestrated railroading with justice seemingly twisted to serve shadowy agendas rather than the truth. Meanwhile, in Chicago, a staggering $70 million has been earmarked, not for the struggling American families who call the city their home, but for the foreign nationals who entered the country illegally. While Chicago's own face neglect, city funds, they flow freely to cater to the needs of those who haven't contributed a dime to the system. One has to wonder, where's the representation for the hardworking American taxpayer in all of this? And if that domestic disarray wasn't enough, our streets are witnessing a surge in anti-Semitic marches and protests echoing the darkest chapters of history. These aren't just fringe events, they're sizable movements reminiscent of the Nazis during the Hitler era. Shockingly, there are elected officials right now in the United States who stand in solidarity with these despicable displays of hatred. It's becoming painfully clear there is a cabal operating in the shadows, directing and these maneuvers that seem to wholly be un-American, steering our great country into chaos and division. This isn't just policy disagreement. This is a fundamental assault on the values that our nation holds dear and always has. This time is now come for us to stand up and say enough is enough, to demand that those in office remember who they are meant to serve. It's time to clear the stage of those who betray American values to restore a government that truly is of, by, and for the people. Stay with me as I take you on this journey with us as we reclaim the soul of our nation right here on the Patriots Prayer Podcast. And with that, I welcome my co-host, none other than a native patriot. Welcome, Maurice. How you been, bud?
Been quite well, brother. How are you?
Pretty good.
I know, man, that's a fiery intro because, I mean, that's kind of exactly on point to how I was feeling today. There were plenty of videos over the weekend of Congress waving the Ukrainian flag, and not just one Ukrainian flag. There were 100 members of Congress all waving the flag as they fund foreign wars. And I mean, even though they're on the brink of collapse, even though, I mean, we had a congressman come out and say that Ukraine's border is our border, as they willfully neglect our own border, as fentanyl is being trafficked across it from, I mean, who knows where. We know from China, but other places as well, that's causing over 100,000 deaths each and every year. Over 100,000 deaths. People. 9/11 was 3,000 people. It was 2,900. What was it? 2,997? So it's just about 3,000 people that died on 9/11. We're having several orders of magnitude of that monthly. Yep. I mean, and just because we can't see it directly, we're acting like it's not happening. No, this is a direct attack. Have you ever heard of the opium wars? Yes, this is the same thing. They're attacking our country with a brand new kind of, well, I guess fentanyl's been around for a while, but I mean, it is a direct assault on our people, and they're clearly succeeding. I mean, since Biden has been around, over 300,000 Americans have died from fentanyl overdose as a direct result from an open border and China willfully trafficking it, trafficking fentanyl in here? What total is that as far as overall deaths in war go? What would that come to, do you think, Eddie?
Well, listen, anyone who's had a child die from an overdose, right? Anyone who has saw the way that drugs can ravage an entire neighborhood, society, community. I saw it in Baltimore with my own eyes. I watched. By the time I was 14, Maurice, I knew how to bring someone out of an OD at 14. I already knew, because this is the kind of lifestyle that's led there. It's not even seen as abnormal. So they have systematically started to decay all of the inner cities. And now it's a problem because it's touching the more affluent areas of the country. Look, you just said it yourself. 2,997 people died on 9/11. How many died from the coronavirus as a result of China allowed to fly into our country, right? Much more than that. That's an act of war. But have we done anything? No. We are acting like complete chicken shits, right? Here's a country that has people in internment camps who kill people for their religious beliefs, who don't fall in line with the government. He is no different than Hitler. None. None. They sell organs out of actually, let me back up and say this. It is believed that China sells organs of their own prisoners they keep in prison. They keep the hospital attached to the prison, which is attached to a runway. This is a well-known, anyone who wants to fact check me, go on Epoch Times and take a look at the stories there. And when you couple all of that with who we seem to want to go after and who we want to seem to not be, you know, not say anything harsh to, or do anything to, it really, it baffles you. It baffles your mind. Look at Israel. We're yelling ceasefire all day long when the amount of people that died on that day in Israel in October the 7th, numbered per capita would be like, if the United States were attacked, then we would have 50,000 people killed from that attack. We went to war for over 20 years.
Per capita, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We went to war for over 20 years for 3,000 people that hit a building. They are being told to shut up and sit down and stop firing weapons at the innocent Palestinians. I don't know that, unless you're like 11, 12, 13 years old and under, I don't think you are an innocent Palestinian. And I don't care who likes that or not. It doesn't matter to me, because they were the same people cheering after 9/11. They were the same people spitting on that young girl that was raped and drugged through the streets. And I'll keep bringing those two things up to the day that I die. Because when you want to sit there and act like Israel are the big bad bullies who occupy a land and that have been this colonial threat to Palestine, it makes no sense to me whatsoever, because Palestine has never existed. 7 times they've been offered statehood. You go take a look at who that land has belonged to from the time it was Canaan before the Israelites took it until modern day. Not one time will you see the word Palestine, because it's never existed. So when people say that they're a colonial threat and all this kind of, I don't want to hear that. You guys go get educated first and then come and talk. This is ridiculous. And I'm just kind of fed up with this. And you said they're waving the Palestinian flag. Those were Democrats. Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, the Ukrainian flag. They were waving the Ukrainian flag. And yes, these are all Democrats doing this. But keep in mind, there were also a bunch of Republicans and Uniparty, just complete people that are wearing the mask of a conservative that are standing in solidarity with them. But let's take a look. Look at this.
I've been selling my soul, working all day, overtime hours for bullshit pay, so I can sit out here and waste my life away. Drag back home and drown my troubles.
I love Oliver Anthony. Shout out Oliver Anthony for that. But yes, man, look at that. And look at what we're doing in Chicago. $70 million. $70 million for illegal immigrants. But what about all the homeless people in Chicago? What about the people in Chicago that need those resources? They're tired, dude. What are they supposed to do? How are we supposed
Maui? We've completely forgot about Lahaina.
We don't even bring that up anymore.
Yeah, $700 per household there. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Biden. I really don't know why it's been so quiet down there. Why there aren't more people down there, or I mean anybody. Like, what is actually going on? Are they really planning on driving out all the locals and just erecting a smart city there? I mean, according to Ben Davidson, Hawaii is not going to be around for much longer. But
well, if
that's a different topic.
If you know, I mean, this is what they're saying, right? 15 minute cities, that sort of thing. That's what's going to occur in that area. Now, if it does happen, and we look back on this, and we can say, okay, I never want to hear another smart reply from any one of you weirdos that say conspiracy theories don't work. Because they said that. They said that about the Jeffrey Epstein stuff, right? Oh, yeah. Powerful people are taking little girls to an island to have sex with them. What kind of retard says these things and thinks like this and blah, blah, blah. And then where are all those people? Where are all those same people? But where's the client list? Where's any of those things? Because now we know that's true. We have 9.4 million people that roundabouts that have came into the country in the last 3+ years, more than the population of New York. And we're giving all of our resource to these people. We're sending a ton of money over to Ukraine. We're, you know, what about the American people that are caught in the middle while this pretend right versus left? I can count on maybe two hands and maybe one foot the amount of real conservatives that I would throw my, I could actually say these guys are the ones that I would back. You know, if you saw in the beginning of that, here, I'll play it real quick. Watch in the beginning of that clip where everybody's waving the flags. Watch who gets up and walks away, disgusted. Watch.
I've been selling my soul.
Who was it?
Matt Gaetz.
Matt Gaetz is the future. Matt Gaetz is the next Donald Trump. Mark my words. He doesn't got the popularity. He doesn't have the backing in the government. But when it comes to the people, I guarantee you he does.
Well, yeah, the funny thing is that Donald Trump isn't, I mean, I've been saying this for years. Donald Trump is a moderate as far as policy goes. Like they paint him out to be, like the media wants to paint him out to be this horrible, evil dictator who, you know, rules with an iron fist, and which towards our enemy or towards our adversaries, he kind of was that. He was stern, and he believes in peace through strength. But as far as policy goes in America, I mean, he's a moderate. He was middle of the road on everything. He's like, he took every position that he took was like a 90s Democrat position, right? Apart from Roe v. Wade getting overturned, but they used to say safe, legal, and rare. And I mean, other than that, 90s Democrat, I mean, him and Bill Clinton, realistically, on policy, are almost identical. It is what it is.
And well, I can tell you one thing. There was one Bill Clinton policy I wish they would bring back. Don't ask, don't tell. What a common sense piece of legislation was. It was just common sense. It was common sense. I don't understand what the issue with it was. And now, I mean, when that's what happens when you crack the door. You crack the door with a little bit of, okay, we're in a free country. People can be who they are, blah, blah, blah. And then it just continues to turn into anarchy. And the next thing you know, you turn on TikTok and you see a guy in pink camo fatigues going into the military or army commercials with a little girl getting recruited, talking about her two moms. Like, why the hell does that matter? We're turning into a woke joke. And trust me, the people behind the scenes know this. They're not dumb. They know this stuff. They know they don't stand with the trans people. They know they don't stand with all these weird policies against women and sports and all of the things that we rail against here. They know they do not approve of or stand by these things. But that's why I believe there is my little theory here, a secret cabal of people off in the wings somewhere in the dark that are causing this chaos intentionally. Your country doesn't get this screwed up by accident. We don't go from who we were to who we are right now by accident. This is planned. This is by design. And people, if at some point we don't put a stop to it, like grow some balls and just stand up to it, we are going to lose everything that we love and hold dear. It's all just your people need to realize we're taking our freedom for granted if we don't stand up to keep it. What did they say? I give you a republic if you can keep it.
Yeah. Agenda 2030. They clearly outlined you will own nothing and you'll be happy, which is it's kind of like I think about that phrase quite often, actually. And I mean, even right now, it sure doesn't feel like I own much. You know, in order to drive my vehicles, I need to have yearly car tabs and, mm-hmm. you know, expenses. And then an incredible, I mean, in Washington State, I think like 98 cents per gallon, or maybe it's over a dollar now, is tax on gas. And then mm-hmm. my house, I got property tax every single year, regardless of whether or not I paid it off. It's like, do I really own this? Or can they just... Yeah,
you don't. You so rented
that, from that kind of freaks me out.
You rented from the government. I was talking to my wife about that the other night. I said, if we have a house paid for free and clear completely, I said, now we should be able to take our savings, sit in that house or sell it and move and buy another one. And we should be able to just completely drop out of society and not be bothered with any of this stuff. But they designed it to make sure you can't do that so they can keep on drawing your life's blood out of you through tax after tax after tax after tax. It's ridiculous. And the tax system needs to be reformed. And I hear people say that all the time. You know, the one who was the real threat to the monetary system, the way it's set up, who was really going to actually fix it, and they just right, left, and indifferent. They didn't care. They fought against this guy, and he was the most popular person to ever run for president and never lost a single debate. Ron Paul. Ron Paul, to this day, political hero. That guy taught me more about the Constitution, more about the government, more about monetary policy than any incumbent ever before. He's like 90 years old, and I would still vote for him. I mean, he is the best person I've ever seen in my life ever hold office and hold to his principles. He didn't care. Democrats loved him. He sold out Madison Square Garden to give a speech when he was running for president. That thing they did with him and giving the nod to Mitt Romney when he went up against Obama. I'm telling you, even at Obama's height, if they would have put Ron Paul up against Obama in 2008, we'd be saying President Ron Paul, unless they cheated him too.
I don't know. We'd be in a different world, man.
A much better one.
Yeah.
A much better one.
Yeah.
Where we weren't involved in any foreign wars.
I wonder where the race relations would be. God, why was that so hard to say? Race relations would be in this country if Obama hadn't come in and stoked all of the racial tensions and jacked it up to a level 9. Because as a black president, he was the only president who made everything, or not everything, but he made his race a huge deal. And instead of celebrating, being like, look how far we've come in America. Look how great America is that after all this time, a black man can be president. No, he's like, no, even as president, I still feel discrimination. And there's so many people who feel the same way. And hands up, don't shoot. And all this bullshit. That then he just BLM started under Obama, which is the craziest thing to think about, that a black president stoked this kind of racial tensions. It's like he was voted in and somehow that made us more racist because they wanted to prove
Michelle Obama say, or Big Mike, I think Big Mike said it was the first time in her life that she was proud of her country in that moment. She wrote a college thesis, right? I'm not kidding you. Please, folks, fact check Eddie, please. She wrote a college thesis that basically stated for everything that's happened throughout the entire United States, throughout time, that black people should be in power now because of what happened before. Like, she wrote the college thesis that stated that. It is ridiculous, the kind of division that, you know what, everybody should be talking, we need to be one people, under one country, under one flag, with one goal. And they don't want that. They don't want that. They would rather have us sitting here arguing about our race, about our religions, about our nationalities, whatever the case may be, they would rather have that than have us be one people with one single national identity, because I guarantee you the uniparty and the division stuff doesn't work if the people don't play along. And the media just sits over there and stokes the flames. All they do is sit there and gaslight the American people with bullshit stories that are completely irresponsible, like they did to Kyle Rittenhouse. I mean, here's a kid.
They're still pushing that.
That is so phony. They said he brought the rifle from out of state. He didn't. It was more than the 18-inch barrel. He wasn't. He was there as a Proud Boy. He wasn't. He shot three people who he aimed at. And now keep in mind, he didn't have just a regular gun. He had an automatic gun. He had a semi-gun. So when actually, you know what? They should have praised him because he didn't just go off and shoot into the crowd. He only shot the immediate threats that were in front of him. And two of them were pieces. Actually, all three of them were pieces of shit. Yeah. One of them was a kiddie diddler. And
so that was Joseph Rosenbaum was the first guy who directly attacked him and went for his gun. And he was the kid diddler. So he was actually a really dark, demented soul, because what he would do, this is Joseph Rosenbaum, the one that Kyle put to sleep first. Joseph Rosenbaum would target single mothers so he could get to their children. He was a dark, demented soul that I am so happy that he is not with us anymore. So that was the first one. The second one was Anthony Huber, who I don't really remember his record very well. But I know that he hit Kyle over the head with a skateboard as Kyle was already on the ground, and Kyle put one in his chest and immediately I believe he hit his heart. So, you know, Huber was also gone before he hit the ground. And then Gage Grosskreutz, who was a felon with a pistol. So, hey, guess what, guys? Gun laws don't work. That as proof right there, because Gage Grosskreutz, he was a felon with a pistol, and he brought the pistol around to Kyle's head, and Kyle responded by shooting his arm, which obliterated his bicep, which is his right arm. Some people are born lefties. Gage Grosskreutz was made a lefty that day.
You know, if people were really spaghetti. If people were completely honest, right? And they're not, but let's just state, if people were completely honest, they would say to themselves, the gun laws in this country were set up. The Second Amendment was written the way that it was so that if the government ever became tyrannical, we would stand a fighting chance, right? And believe it or not, folks, the gun laws in this country have protected us from what happened to Israel on October 7th multiple times, because the Russians were planning on coming in here in the 80s. But they did many simulations about what would happen if they tried. And the fact that we had an armed population was their biggest deterrent. So, you know, keep that in mind. Only 2% of the people in Israel actually have weapons. If they had a Second Amendment in Israel, we wouldn't even be dealing with this conversation with what happened when Hamas came in there that day.
It definitely still would have been a tragedy, but it wouldn't have been.
Oh, yeah, sure. It would have been a shoot, but it would have been a shootout. It wouldn't have been a slaughter. Yeah.
Yep.
And that's the difference. And so, guys, you know, we brought up something a little earlier, and I meant to segue into something else just for a second. We talked about the demented stuff that people thought were conspiracy theory that turned out to be fact, like the Epstein Island stuff, right? And I meant to segue into this and tell you guys this, but we are going to have Jennifer Guskin on the podcast come Wednesday. If you don't know who she is, do yourself a favor and look her up. MK Ultra, the whole Epstein style scene, islands, kid trafficking. This was her. She experienced it. She went through it, and she has a story to tell, and we're going to let her tell it. So this is new territory for us. It was very hard. When we had a conversation with her, Maurice and I did a little earlier, you heard the tears fall over the phone. You heard the emotion in her voice. This is not something she wants to do. I'll be completely honest. Maurice, I mean, what was your feeling on the whole conversation? This does not seem like something that she really wants to do.
I mean, my heart broke for her, and I mean, it's going to be a hard episode to watch. I mean, but it seems necessary. But as far as yes, as far as what I mean, it felt real. So, and I think it's going to get more intense on Wednesday when we have her on, and like it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to get through, but it's definitely mind, necessary.
Folks. Yep, it is necessary, and she's going to be bringing up names of elected officials that are currently in office. Currently in office. You will have to be on the locals for that. There will be an after show. We're going to have the show. We're going to take you through the entire story, a step at a time. And we told her we have to take it slow and put this in chronology because there's a lot to unpack. There's a lot, and I don't want to get ahead of ourselves in this. And then we're going to do our first after show. So we're going to go from the podcast, and then we're going to go over to a question forum in the locals. And you definitely want to be there. So if you have not to date gone over and became one of the tribe of Patriots, you want to do that. So go to the Patriots Prayer. .locals.com. It's $5, people. That's all it is. It's $5 per month. You want to do it. And we appreciate your support in doing it. And you're going to be a part of this conversation. You're going to hear names that are going to shock you, just like it shocked me and Maurice. And this girl is, go check her out. Jennifer.
She's a lady now.
Oh, yeah, lady. 36 years old, she said.
Hey, easy. That's supposed to say a woman's age like that. Come on. That's way. Not polite.
Oh, man. So, crazy ass. So she's going to be taking people through this. And don't have kids near. I can tell you because the scenes that she just for us are extremely graphic. And she's talking about political figures that are currently in office right now. So this is going to be wild. And you know that there are sick people in office. There are absolutely sadistic people in government. I'll prove it to you. Watch this.
I had no idea that he was a representative in the Illinois House. I had no idea he was in politics. I just knew that he was supposedly married and at the time was going through some issues with the marriage.
He said that?
That was made clear. Yep.
Huh. Did he say what kind of issues?
No.
Nope. Remember? No. Nope. So you said, I'm looking for someone to wake up. He knows you're referring to cocaine. I know where to get it. What happens next?
We get back in the limo. The driver takes us wherever it is that Barack had instructed him to take us. I had given Barack $250 to pay for coke. He gets out, comes back. I start putting a line on a CD tray to snort.
And you're in the limo.
Yep.
Driving or parked?
No, the driver's driving.
Yep.
I start to put a line on a CD tray, and I just happen to notice that he pulls something else out of his pocket. And next thing I know, he's got a little pipe and he's smoking. So I don't have an issue.
There you have it. Barack is a crackhead. This has a lot to do maybe with why Joe gave out crack pipes. Maybe he lost. Barack lost his. And, you know, my favorite part of that interview, the funniest part of that interview is when he turned around and said, I blew that guy twice. Like, dude. I mean, but does anything in his voice, in his face, in his body language say, I'm lying about anything he's saying? And how many people in the chat right now? Give me a one if you think he was lying, put a one. If you think he's telling the truth. Put a two. Just throw it up there. I would love to poll you guys and see if you think Larry Sinclair really had a sexual encounter with Barack Obama while he was smoking crack. I just want to know if people are believe it. There's a two. We got a two. We got a couple of twos.
Yeah.
We got a couple of twos. Listen, I believe it. I believe it wholeheartedly. I believe that Barack Obama is definitely did what he said, because it wasn't just Larry Silverstein. I mean, excuse Silverstein. That's a different Larry. And that had everything to do with 9/11. So that was a different Larry. Larry Sinclair, however, you know, he comes across as a guy who just doesn't care if you know that he does cocaine, or care if you know that he's gay. He has nothing to hide. It doesn't matter to him. I mean, look, hold on. I got one more clip of him. Watch.
You're just a guy who's in town for the night, and it sounds like you're looking to party.
Yeah. Pulled up in a bar outside, and there's this guy that's introduced to me as Barack Obama. I had given Barack $250 to pay for coke. I start putting a line on a CD tray to snort, and next thing I know, he's got a little pipe, and he's smoking. So I just started rubbing my hand along this thigh to see where it was going, and it went the direction I had intended it to go.
Even though you had sex with him twice, you did cocaine with him, watched him smoke crack twice. You had no idea who he was.
I had no idea who he was.
Let me just ask the obvious question. What was Obama like on crack? Is it your sense that that's who Obama is, just transactional, or that he's bisexual, or like, what is this?
It definitely wasn't Barack's first time, and I would almost be willing to bet you it wasn't as long.
The guy's running for president, and credible information comes out that he's smoking crack and having sex with dudes. That seems like a story.
Well, it would be a story if the media really cared about telling people the truth.
That, have you seen that interview? Have you watched that interview?
It's hard for me to get through something like that. It's just gross, man. That stuff just grosses me out. Like, I have a hard enough time just like watching. I don't know, just that crap on TV that they're putting out. I'm noticing my wife and I were watching that 70s show.
I love that show.
They put in commercials now, right? With whatever platform we use to watch it, and they have a lot of gay commercials on there, and it's just weird. It just,
well,
like,
you know, they made it that 90s
just
show,
weird,
right?
Man.
They made it that, they made it that 80s, but it lasted like 1 minute. And then they went on and made it that 90s show. And it was actually a decent show. The first season I watched it, I liked it. And of course, they did have the little gay character. They had to put him in there, and a little chubby Asian kid. And he's kind of funny and that sort of thing. But, you know, the woke culture, it's not going away, right? The whole idea of making things that used to be obscure, you know, out of sight, behind closed doors, and not really talked about that much, to becoming normal and forcing it in your face and making you watch it. And that's the way it's going to be. That's the way
not
it's
normal.
Gonna be. It's unfortunate.
I'm getting tired of it.
I've been tired of it since like the early 90s when I saw it for the first time in public. It's not something that we grew up with, you know, thinking it was normal. I remember when the Boy Scouts wouldn't allow people that were in leadership positions to be of that, you know, ilk. They wouldn't allow it. And now I would bet that they have a very large percentage of them that actually are just like that. You know, if people want to be that way, I disagree with them on a religious standpoint. I have a very strong belief in God, and that's where I stand. And that's why I feel the way that I do about those things. It's not out of hatred. It's not because I dislike people who choose to live a certain lifestyle, because I don't. It's not out of hate that I do that. But in as much as I have the right to believe in God and do the things I do, I don't want to shove it down everyone's throat or constantly every time I'm out in public, you know, carry my Bible and keep giving everybody, you know, scripture every time I'm talking to them. It would be annoying. And it's that annoying when people consistently, you know, shove their lifestyle and all that down your throat and make force it in front of your face constantly. It's ridiculous. And they should know that. They know that. It's not dumb. It's like their way of, like, they know it's like sticking a needle in your eye, and they love doing it. That's why it's their kind of fun.
Well, they get the chance to prove that you're a homophobe, right? So there's two issues that I take with some gay people, right? So I and maybe I'm gonna prove my ignorance here or something, but I see gay people as like a sexual fetish, right? It's so like when I see two dudes kissing, it makes me shudder. It's not necessarily because they're gay. It's because like that grosses me out. It's the same as like if I saw somebody with like a foot fetish or like the bondage stuff that people do, like that stuff's weird and I don't like it and it makes me shudder. So I see, and that's kind of how I see gay. Mm-hmm. What's that?
It's because you just have a different taste. It's like we had a whole bunch of Twizzlers in front of us and you try to give me the black licorice one. I hate that stuff. Ooh. But do I want to get rid of all the black licorice on earth? No. It's just I have a different set of taste buds than you. I don't like liver and onions, but I don't care if you eat it. But it's disgusting to me, but I don't care if you eat it. You know, it's like that.
Along with sexual fetishes, like you need to control your sexual urges, right? Otherwise, because you can get into depravity, I mean, really, really quick. And I think that's been the problem with this entire LGBTQ movement is it's just it's uncontrolled and it's like celebrated to push it as far as you possibly can. And that's a serious problem. But the second problem that I have with specifically flamboyant gay dudes is it makes it really hard for me to trust them when they speak in that same voice, because I know that that's not their real voice and that they're putting on this
show. You think they go home and as soon as they go home, oh my God, hey yo, as soon as they walk through the front door.
Yeah. So it like, if somebody came up to you and they were talking to you and you know, they were from like, California, but they talk to you with like a hardcore Southern drawl, you know, something like that, you know, you'd be like, you'd be weirded out by it because you're like, all right, that's not your real, like, just because you can do it doesn't mean you should.
I don't hate country people. Obviously I love the South and a lot of people in the South, but I mean, and it's the same thing. Like when people cross cultures, like in Baltimore, growing up in a black community, I've seen so many people that were not black, but then 2 weeks hanging out with the black crowd and they developed the black scent. And all of a sudden they pronounce the same words the same way and that sort of thing. And they're doing it so that they fit in and that sort of thing. And really what it does is just show everybody around you, you're a complete weak. You're weak. You're mentally weak. You can't be yourself. And I don't care if that's really who you actually are, then fine. No problem. There's probably plenty of people that are, but when I know you and you're, you know, Richard one day, and then I come back the next week and I say, what's up? And he's like, you know, all of a sudden your name is J-Rock and you're sagging your pants. I don't respect you at all. 0% do I respect you. And I'm probably going to call you out on it too.
Good. Good. Yeah. So I mean,
we kind of zipped over the Chicago thing, right? Where Chicago, $70 million, is it million? Yeah, million dollars to illegal immigrants and just overlooked their own people, completely overlooked their own people. And the Democrats got to be shaking in their boots right now, because that mayor down there that did this,
he's a communist.
He's so unpopular. There's no way he's not taking cues from somebody else, somewhere else. Because listen to what his own people are telling him. He's only going to be a one-term mayor. I guarantee it. And the funny thing is they don't have the ability to recall him. I don't know what the state constitution says in Chicago or why they can't vote him out instead of having to wait till election day, but I guess they can't. Listen to this.
Now, to align yourself with somebody who's obviously a one-term mayor, if he even makes it that far, you better be worrying about your job. You better be worrying about your longevity, because we're going to vote and we're going to get you out because you ain't doing right by us. That's what time it is.
Chicagoans furious and sounding off on Mayor Johnson's plan to tack on another $70 million to migrant funding. Frustration building to the point that some voters are now working to get him out of office, as you heard that constituent there saying. Garrett Tenney live in Chicago with the story. Hi, Garrett.
Yeah, Dana, good morning to you. This migrant issue has become an Achilles heel for Mayor Brandon Johnson, so much so that there are now multiple efforts underway to vote out Democrats and the mayor. We saw that yesterday at the city council meeting where several groups of black voters showed up wearing red shirts with the words "No More Blue," "Go Red," and "Turn Chicago Red." Many of these folks are lifelong Democrats who are now actively working to shake up deep blue Chicago, specifically because of how the mayor and the governor have handled the migrant crisis, doling out more than $1 billion so far for that. And here they are warning the mayor and city council about transferring another $70 million from the city's rainy day fund to take care of the migrants.
We need that money in my neighborhood. We need that on my block. So I'm asking y'all to use our tax money for our people. We need it.
You vote for the money for these immigrants today, and we're coming for them seats. Yeah. You can believe that.
The police are fighting with them in the shelters that you guys are funding. You guys think it's a great idea, but yet your police officers are getting attacked. Your public's getting attacked.
Currently, state law does not allow voters to recall Chicago's mayor, but after seeing how Mayor Johnson's first year has gone with the migrants and crime, a new group wants to change that by getting a referendum on the ballot this November that would pave the way to voting Johnson out.
We're not taking care of Chicago citizens first, and that's what it's all about. The fact of the matter is that we've never had this opportunity to recall before, and it's very apparent, based on the mayor's abilities right now, or lack of accountability, that this needs to be addressed.
So I've never heard of a system in the United States of America whereas the people do not have some kind of remedy when they're not being represented by those that they elect. I've never heard of that. It makes no sense to me that they have no recourse. None at all. That I mean, they're completely stuck. That's like having a dictator.
Well, I'll tell you what. I like their energy, though. That first black lady's energy, I like
it. Yeah, I mean, listen.
I was like, keep going, lady.
If anyone is telling you that Trump, I had somebody tell me in the comments today on X that Trump isn't supported by Republicans. Okay, Waterhead. I he's not even just supported by Republicans. He's supported by Democrats.
So people, well, you know what?
Going to be the president. He's going to be president.
I had such an issue with the Republican Party because of them passing the foreign bill. That it just, I mean, I go back through this all the time because there are times when I have like hope for the Republican Party and then they go and do something incredibly stupid again and again and again. And I mean, I thought this new speaker was going to be, really good and stand up for the America First values, but somehow he found his way to playing footsie with the Democrats again. Found a homeless never Trumper.
Got what he say? You see? Homeless never Trumper.
Congratulations. Now that DeSantis and Haley dropped out.
Okay. There is so many people that hated this man that now don't. You don't see people change in a political climate anymore. Like, if you're a Democrat, that's really just typically where you are. You'll fight to the death, and you probably have so much pride that you just orange man bad syndrome. That's it. But we're seeing cracks in that. We're seeing Snoop Dogg take pictures with Donald Trump. We're seeing the people in Atlanta line up along the streets to cheer him as he walks down, as he goes into Chick-fil-A and buys 30 milkshakes and gets loved on or kissed in the hallway. At a college. I mean, they love him. In New York, he goes into a bodega and they praise him there too. Everywhere you would think where he's supposed to get hated, he's loved. And they don't have to go in first and make sure everyone has a script and all that like Biden's people did. And do you know that convenience store that Biden went into that where they staged it all first? Do you know after all that took place and they left that the Biden admin sued the chain?
They for recording the setup?
They sued them. It's on the news right now. It's the story just came out before we started the podcast. I was looking at the story. They're wow. suing the team. It's ridiculous.
You know, this is one reason why I like to say that Trump is a 90s Democrat. Because, I mean, the people who already support him, the right-wingers, they're going to feel a little insulted by that. Because, you know, whatever. But to all the 90s Democrats that feel freaking lost right now, that look to the left and say, you know, like, I mean, there's cashless bail for people who have literally chopped people up in pieces in New York and then got out that day. Gosh, do you hear about that story?
That's crazy. Yeah.
They chopped a couple up and strewn their body all throughout their apartment. And then they were literally let go that day because of cashless bail. That's where the left is right now.
But see, the cashless bail policy was never supposed to be for those who committed violent crimes, right? When they presented the bill, it was for people that were committing low-level offenses. Not for everyone, but as you saw, Gascon let the guy that tried to kill David Chappelle on stage go that night. And then another guy who ran over a mother and her baby that night. And then later he only got 5 months probation. And now that guy who in Lincoln Riley's killer too. So
he was released. So that was the reason that what he was able to murder Lincoln Riley. So that post that's going around is kind of deceptive. Because it kind of it assumes that he was released after he murdered Lincoln Riley, but no, this is why he was able to murder her was because he was on cash or was released because of what was it? There was too many people there or something. So like, well, we don't have much room for you, so you're free to go. And he goes and murders Lincoln Riley. It's horrible.
It is not because I want to dispel a myth. It is not because of the law that they let him go, people. Wake up. This is intentional. Okay. They're doing this intentionally. They picked a killer and they let him out. And they knew he was going to cause further chaos. Marx told Marxists to do this. Empty your prisons. Go after the nuclear family. By letting the border wide open the way that they're doing, this is not. Just this happens, you know, circumspect. This is all just happened by accident. No, it is you're crazy if you don't think this is a plan. It's never happened before until now. Why? Because the plan wasn't it wasn't active until now. That's why. That's exactly why. And then when you realize that, when you really let that sink in and really piss you off, to your core. And then this is what they want, right? I'm not advocating for this. Let me say that ahead of time before somebody takes a clip and says that's what I'm doing, because I'm not. But what they want you to do is get so pissed off that you take to the streets, and then they can point the finger at the crazy conservatives that are in the streets rioting, fighting actually to save their country, but they'll reimagine it and put it on the news and put a different kind of a headline over it and a different kind of spin on it to give it the effect that they want, to elicit the emotion that they want, so that no one will question it when they come for you. No one will question it when they arrest you, just like the guys on J6, no different. It's a great example of it right there. That's exactly what they will do. Yeah, there's a big contrast between that and that, a big one.
Yep. And this is the popular image going around today because, I mean, obviously, of all the people on the left here who have the American flags and some Trump flags, Gadsden flag, you know, people who want to fight for our country, who love our country more so than the fools on the right. I don't understand it.
There should be no reason right now why the people in our Congress and our Senate are not fist fighting. I'm just going to say it. There is no reason that they're not. People, AOC, Ilhan Omar, Cory Booker, Jamal Bowman,
Bush,
Hakeem Jeffries, Bush, yes, she has one. and they were all members of the DSA. Every one of them, the Democratic Socialists,
dirty commies.
They are all dirty commies. Everyone in a group that is known for supporting terror cells like Hamas, and they hold office in the United States of America. Now, let me ask you another question. Why does our Constitution say that you should defend your country against all enemies, foreign and domestic? We're failing.
Yeah,
and as a result, our country's failing. Our enemies right here. Nobody's beating us from other countries. That's not what's happening. It's right here in our borders. We're doing it. And it's kind of got us in this lose-lose situation, because fighting back is what they want, because they're going to relabel it as something else. They're going to say our intentions are wholly different than what they actually are. Just look at J6. I don't recommend that anyone go out and attack police officers or break into the Capitol. I was never behind any of those things. And if you look at the recording of that day, how many Trump supporters were yelling at police officers saying, "Why aren't you doing anything? This is not what we stand for." And they just stood there like this. Or they were firing gas cannons into the crowd to rile people up, while people like Ray Epps were whispering in the ears of people to cause dissent intentionally. Wake up, people.
He got a year probation, though. Yeah, he served his time. Yeah. Oh, directly inciting an insurrection. Yeah, yeah.
Me, dude, I've done many years myself, and I didn't do anything anywhere near what he did. Not even close. And I'm sitting in a maximum security prison around serial killers. And that fool attacked he literally coordinated attack on our Capitol and got 1 year probation.
The only conclusion I can come to is that he did his job perfectly.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's that he was put there to do that job, and he incited it and was able to help get people to actually storm the Capitol.
So let me ask you, what would it look like if somebody was not part of the plan, who didn't want to go along with it and stood up against it and just wasn't part of the crowd and actually believed in the country and tried to turn it back to what it's supposed to be? What do you think they would do to an individual like that?
You mean like Alex Jones?
Alex Jones? Because Donald Trump?
See, so with Alex Jones, they didn't go after him directly to jail him because they couldn't. I mean, they tried. But they went after him in a subversive way. They wanted to take all his money away. So they nudged the people of the Sandy Hook.
Yeah, famous nudging.
To sue him. Yeah. And so they took his money away. And they convinced all the big platforms to demonize him, and he got banned from everywhere all at once.
Yeah.
It was not a coincidence. That was on. I mean, that was weird. So, and it's, you know, that was a coordinated attack. So they took his platforms away and they took his money away.
And
I'm not saying he's right about everything, but man, he's got his
right to have an opinion. Something.
Yeah.
I mean, look, he called 9/11 before it happened. He was on the target with a lot of stuff. And all those things that he talked about with the Bohemian Grove that everyone called him crazy for, go look at his interviews with Dick Gergen when he pulled him up on the street and confronted him about the Bohemian Grove and the cremation and care, and watch that man squirm and get pissed off. And look at the footage he got while he was in there. It's not a joke. World leaders dressing up like druids, doing mock sacrifices in front of owl gods and effigies. And it's real, folks. I'm sorry to bust your bubble, but there are people in our government who are actively involved in devil worship. It is a fact. Look at this.
Yeah.
This is the part where Donald Trump did that little interview earlier, and they were asking him, and I'll let him in his own words tell you, this is what it looks like when you try to do the right thing against all odds and you're actually fighting for America, what they will do to you. Take a look.
We know each other a very long time. How is your family holding up through all this?
Well, look, it's always tough when you can't go to your son's graduation. You know, he's a great student and he's a good boy, and you tell him you can't go to his graduation. This judge, who is a totally conflicted person, by the way, totally, he should not be the judge of this case. He's so conflicted that nobody's ever been as conflicted as him, just about. But this judge said that you can't get away from the trial. You know, he's rushing the trial like crazy. Nobody's ever seen a thing go like this. That jury was picked so fast. 95% Democrats. The area is mostly all Democrat. You think of it as just a purely Democrat area. It's a very unfair situation, that I can tell you.
You think he's going to get a fair shake?
No. I don't think he should even be going to this. Like, dude, at some point, we're just going to have to, like, not take him seriously.
Yeah.
Like, why is the former president taking this so seriously? Like, I understand he wants to win, but at the same time, he should just tell him, F off. No. Your accusations are stupid. These are ridiculous charges that you have brought up. It's all made up. Right. F off. Plus, there's no underlying crime that they even, like, the reason that this is a felony, right, is because of some mysterious crime that they never disclosed. It's ridiculous beyond belief. He's the former president. He should be telling these no-name freaking DAs to just pound sand and continue on with his life. He should go to his kid's graduation and just not worry. What are they going to do? Imprison him? You really call their bluff. Say, do it. Come get me.
And that's where I'm at with it.
You have Trump's back because, I mean, whether it be this hush money thing or the Mar-a-Lago fraud case, you know, it's all bullshit that they've made up. And they've just, I mean, this guy has surprised, Trump surprised the heck out of me with how clean he actually was. I thought back in like 2017, 2018, I was like, man, they're going to get him for something. It'll be something stupid, but they're going to get him. And then after years and years of them digging into every aspect of his life, they didn't find shit, which is the craziest thing because I thought for sure that he was going to go down over something really stupid. But it turns out, no. Now they have to actually invent charges where they say Mar-a-Lago is only worth $18 million. I know the empty lot that's only a tenth of the size as Mar-a-Lago, and the house is just this little dumpy ass, you know, 6-bedroom house, and it's worth $28 million. But no, Mar-a-Lago, that's only worth $18 million. So
there's an empty lot.
Fraud.
Empty lot, $200 million right by Mar-a-Lago on the beachfront property. $200 million. And it doesn't even have a house on it.
Isn't Mar-a-Lago beachfront to beachfront? It like stretches entirely. Oh, so I mean, I'm just waiting for Trump to finally just say, no, come and get me and see what they do.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? If he really wanted to take, that's how much he loves his country. Because if he stood back and he really did that and he said, you know what? I'm done with it. American people, back me up. I'm over here.
Yeah.
There are not many people in the world that would have people have their back to the point of willing to fight for him. And that is the reality of the situation. If he didn't love his country, and he wouldn't be sitting here trying to follow these laws and play along with all these show trials that they're trying to do. If he was just a knee jerk reaction piece of shit that they try to make him out to be, he would have this country turned upside down because people would be out there for him.
At what point does it become enabling entertaining all of these frivolous lawsuits, though?
Yeah, I get it. I mean, I definitely get it. But the alternative is, listen, in when we get closer to election day, they're not done. Trust me, some little intelligence folks or agents are sitting around right now devising on what they're going to do leading right up to November. And they're waiting for the best. Believe me, they're going to save the best for last. And at some point, if they just say, if they do whatever, that the American people see that it's an outright lie and then they try to enforce a law that's a sham on him, that is when I really hope they don't do that. Just put it that way. I really hope they don't do that for the sake of everyone we love in our way of life. I hope they don't do that, because what comes out of the other side of that doesn't look like America anymore. It just doesn't. What about the anti-Semitic rallies that are going throughout the colleges? And now the colleges are now removing, changing the rules and getting rid of the ability for them to have these types of rallies. But you know who's backing them up and reinforcing them is the teachers and the professors. We're going to have Alexandra Levine on the podcast soon. Marcus, she is the granddaughter. Exactly. Alexandra is the granddaughter of the second prime minister of Israel. And she's a good friend of mine. And I talked to her the other night, and she's completely good with coming on the podcast and doing an interview. So we're going to make that happen. To try to make that happen next Monday. I'll talk to her about it tonight or tomorrow, and work out a time and date and everything. But she is one who really knows, and she's actually going to be putting us in touch with some folks who are in Israel right now in a more official capacity that'll be coming on the show as well. So like she did before with Avi Abelo, and I can't wait for the other side of this issue, for the shoe to drop. I can't wait for November. I cannot wait for November. But here, before I get to that? I want to play this clip of the teachers and at the anti-Semitic gang rally. Here, look.
Hey, can we stand?
Those are teachers. Those aren't students.
These are the same Karens people that would have yelled at you for not wearing a mask. It's the same people. They're the same weak-willed, spineless people that just follow along. I mean, this Marxist woke cult movement, that's what it is. It's a cult. They chant the same thing. I mean, I saw this back when Antifa was shouting like corporate slogans, basically. It was really weird. And I actually had a family member who kind of ran with that crowd at the time. And I remember asking him, like, doesn't it seem weird that you and the giant corporations are saying the same thing? Like, when does that ever come? Doesn't that make you nervous? Like, you're against the establishment, but also saying the exact same slogans and phrases as all of the giant corporations, including like Lockheed Martin, like the military industrial complex, corporations that are, you know, have funded every war or profited off of every war around the world. And, you know, they're all about the LGBT movement and the Black Lives Matter and all this woke crap. It is just a cult. They go in lockstep with everything. When it's lockdowns, they're going to shout for lockdowns. When it's trust the science, they're going to shout, trust the science, take the vaccine, and, you know, freedom be damned. Or is that what Arnold Schwarzenegger said? He said, screw your freedom.
Screw your freedom.
It is a cult. And I mean, so I see those teachers as the same exact people who would have said that same shit. It's the same exact people as those doctors who came out and said that if you want to protest the vaccine or the mandates, that's racist and you're going to be a super spreader. But if you're protesting for Black Lives Matter, that's actually really safe. Do you remember that BS?
That's stupid. It's stupid. Yeah, I mean, nobody with common sense believes that that's the reality. Like, yeah, we.
But they would mouth it. They mouth those words, and they wanted us to believe it.
And no,
it's
one.
The same people.
They were enabling all of these guys that are out there in the streets, tearing the streets up. They were enabling it. It was a nudge, right? Like you said, there was a nudge. They're nudging people in those directions because they don't care about the country. What they're trying to do is piss you off till you say something or do something that they can use against you. And then they're going to say, look at what they did, because they gaslit you. They provoked you. And at some point, I believe they will eventually get exactly what it is they're asking for, because somebody, look, we got people setting themselves on fire, man. Like, come on. Like, who does that?
Multiple. Well, I mean, that guy for sure seemed like a paranoid schizophrenic. I mean, I heard a lot of people saying that he was a lefty, but I don't know, man. He was like the, I think he was just a little crazy.
I mean,
also,
fire's got to be crazy on some level. But the things that he wrote in his little manifesto before he went, you notice how fast they released the manifesto of the white crazy man that burned himself outside of Trump's trial. We still haven't seen the one from Nashville, but
he demonized Trump too. So they were like, "Ah, get it out quick, ship it out." I mean, also that guy had put it in several different places, so like, they didn't release it per se. It was already out there. It's just people had to find it, and they found it really quick.
Well, go right now and try to find the one that Steven Crowder released on.
Oh yeah, I know about that chick.
You won't find it if you search Twitter for it. You won't find it, or X. If you search Facebook, you won't find it. YouTube banned him as soon as he put it out. So if they didn't want it shown, they would get rid of it. What was that about? What am I missing?
Still haven't seen the Nashville Tranny-festo.
He said Tranny-festo.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. I like that. If you guys have any specific questions for Eddie and I, put it in the chat, because we are about to wrap this show up. I got to go put my kid to bed and some other stuff. So, you know, do the regular adult things. the dad and husband duties.
You know,
so if you have any specific questions, put them out now and we'll get to them.
And I wanted to say thanks, Patriots, because within three days, I got over 1,000 followers. In 3 days. So, you know, I appreciate it very much. I just went over 6,000 and something right before we went on air. So I just want to say thank you, because it does. It means a lot that I put this much energy into the posts and the truth and the things that we do here and I put out. It takes a lot. And it believe me, it takes a toll on your duties as a family man. And the time do you put into that, do you put into this, because you actually care. I mean, we actually care about the country. The things that we say, we're not saying to get on here and get known and be famous. That's not the motivation. The motivation is because we give a damn about our country. I almost cussed like bad, but we actually care. So when I see that pays off, because people click follow and they share our content, and they like it, that means the world to me. I swear it really does.
All right, so I think this is what he was talking about. Where his response was to Steve. Said, believe me when I say World War III is on the table, Civil War is on the table, assassination is on the table. I'm assuming he's talking about from the Democrats to Trump. They hate Trump, and they hate us for supporting and voting for him. Yes. And they'll wage war on they've already waged war, but they'll wage war on U.S. soil in so doing, enact martial law to stop Trump. See, I see it a little bit different. I don't see them enacting martial law for that particular reason. I see them as letting in all these millions and millions of military aged migrants, and they'll give them a ton of funds. But let's say that come November, Donald Trump wins the election, okay? This is best case scenario. So Donald Trump wins the election. He's going to be president January 17th or whenever it is. So there's two full months of between the time where Joe Biden lost and Trump gets brought in. And all what they're going to do is they're going to basically cut all the funding to these migrants and say, hey, good luck. You know, better go find a spot to hide, because Donald Trump's going to deport you, which they're not technically wrong on that. But there's going to be riots all across every state in all the major cities. There's going to be riots. And you'd be an idiot if you didn't think that those military-age males, the tens of thousands in each city, you'd be crazy to think that they're not going to participate in that.
No, because that would be the reason. They will enable them. They'll say, you know, to the migrants, guys, we have your back. They're trying to send you back. Fight with us and stay in the country. And the Democrats will enable them.
Yeah. When you and, got 30 but that, million. But that would also be a reason why they would enact martial law. It's because they're like, oh, look at all this chaos, guys. Looks like we're going to have to wait a little bit on the transfer of power. I mean, or, you know, I don't know if that's going to happen before the election. Gosh, I hope not. I mean, I hope it doesn't happen at all. But that's how I see martial law getting enacted, is the is that way.
Well, I hope it doesn't get enacted at all. But the most
normal adulting duties.
Yeah. The other day when Hillary Clinton said she didn't want him to get elected because he would kill people and go after people that basically stood against him. And I thought, what a weird thing coming out of the mouth of a Clinton. And I was telling my wife about it. And I'm like, just do yourself a favor and go Google the amount of Clinton affiliates that are no longer walking the earth. And she did. And she was completely surprised. And I was surprised that she hadn't heard about it, to be honest.
Yeah, it's actually, it's almost impressive. She, you know, it's hard to like avoid. So Grim here has a good little sentiment here. He said, band together, join principled movements, and get your voices out there, applying pressure while we still can. So the hardest thing about joining particular movements is the amount of feds that are embedded into patriotic movements, right? They entrap you. So I'm personally incredibly skeptical in joining anybody in any movement. I'm slightly paranoid about feds because I just always like, I know that there's a lot of people in my life that I would trust with my life. So, but those are the people that I would trust, but you're right. You do need to join, you know, it takes a tribe, right? It takes a tribe of patriots in order to get shit done. Because you're not going to be able to just go off into the woods and live on your own. That shit isn't going to last very long. So
I'm actually having that conversation right now with Andrew Huff. And if you guys don't know who Andrew Huff is the man who worked for EcoHealth Alliance. He was the one who blew the whistle on the fact that the coronavirus may have been put together in a lab in Wuhan. That's where it came from. It came from Andrew Huff. The world's most dangerous lie, I think his book was called. And I'm talking to him. He was originally going to come on the podcast this week. And he decided that, you know, he got super paranoid. His computers got hacked and this sort of thing. And he decided to back off from coming on the show and thought that, you know, to be quite honest with you, he thought that it was a Fed movement inside the Patriot movement that targeted him. And I mean, listen, when Whitmer was getting ready to be kidnapped, it was Feds. Let's just be honest.
It's over half.
What's that?
Over half of them were Feds in the Whitmer case. I think there was 18 Feds and 12 people were convicted. Maybe I have that mixed up. Maybe that's backwards. It might be 12 were feds and 18 people were convicted. But basically, it was all funded and incited by the feds. So, yeah. Clinton body count well over 200. I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
I would really like to know the reality of what was on the ground that day in J6 with how many CHIs and actual undercover feds were there. I would like to know who orchestrated that. I would like for people to be held accountable for the fact that the National Guard wasn't there that day, like Donald Trump made them available to be. I would like to see people actually held to account for the things that they do wrong. That's just it. And I don't care what side of the aisle it is. If you find a Republican that's breaking the law and not doing what he should, hold him accountable. I don't care. Just apply the law evenly across the board. That's all I care about. That's all I care about. Well, I don't care if it's about elections. I don't care if it's about rallies and things that go wrong at them. It doesn't matter. When people break the law matters.
It doesn't matter if you're a Republican or Democrat. But I mean, we're now in this little shadow of what used to be our republic, and it's turning into some third world dictatorship ran by a bunch of Marxists pretending to be people who are trying to uphold a republic to fool their own constituents to following them down the primrose path to a communist style government. And it's ridiculous, and you need to wake up. But
Dan Bongino, right, for head position of FBI. That would be pretty cool.
Oh yeah.
But
that would
be, but nice. Yeah. If you guys can, please share this video, whether it be on X or Rumble or wherever you guys are watching, please share the video. That really would help us out a lot. Especially the Rumble link. And if you can join our tribe of patriots, it's the patriotsprayer.locals.com. We're going to have extra content on there. We already do have some extra content on there, but we're building our inventory. You know, we just started this a couple months ago, and we're getting our feet on the ground, and now we're starting to run. So we're starting to get some interviews that are, I mean, we've had some pretty sweet interviews already, but, you know, we got some good ones coming up. So if you can, the patriotsprayer.locals.com, join it. It's $5 a month. And I know that everybody wants a subscription, but also this is the only way that like we can continue doing this, because as much as I love doing this, you know, we have plans to kind of expand and do other things as well. So
that's right. That's exactly right. We want a studio. We want to expand the website. We want to travel. We want to get out there. You know who I respect? Laura Loomer. Laura Loomer takes off, goes to Panama, films all these things and exposes them and that sort of. You know what? I would love to do that. I would love to take off and take my camera and go down and get in people's faces and not have to worry about getting back for Monday, you know, by 6:30 or before I'll lose my job. You know, my passion, I love my job. Don't get me wrong. And I love the people I work with, but I love my country more and I love my family more and I love God more. And so for that reason, that's why we want to do this.
Yeah. And we, you know what, guys, I just had an idea. I'm not going to say this seriously, but I'll take the sacrifice. I'll go down to Hawaii and film what's going on down there. You know, somebody needs to go down and figure it out. So that should be my next thing, is going down to Hawaii, to Lahaina, and seeing what's actually going on down there. I could blend in with the locals. You know, I'll just sneak in and be Hawaiian and such.
Look at this.
I can make that sacrifice, you know.
Look at one of these guys just sent me. Oh my god, dude. Yeah. Look what somebody just sent me. I'm not gonna put you on blast, but look what they sent me.
Ah.
What in the Why in the world would anyone subject their little kid to that? If I was out in public and you did that to my, if you came up to my kid and did that, I would be back in prison that minute. I promise you.
Yeah, that's, I will never understand that, because it is sickening in every way. It's depraved to watch, right? So as adults, if adults go and watch something like that, they go to a strip club, like that's depraved. It's a weird sexual, it's another one of those sexual fetish kind of things, right? And it gets really bad when the dancers want to do it in front of children. That's a problem. And then the parents that bring the children, who have been told that it's okay, they know it's not okay. They know it's not. It's gross, and it needs to stop. It's nasty. And there's definitely something demonic about it. And it makes me sick to my stomach. So
yeah, I don't know I can't tell you. Hashtag leave the kids alone. And I just, I saw Leslie put it up there, but yeah, I use that hashtag a lot whenever I post about that stuff. Leave the kids alone, for sure, man. I don't understand why people subject children to this. Why it's okay. Why do they feel comfortable doing this?
Facebook. Oh yeah, I forgot that we stream there.
Oh, we stream. Yeah, we're streaming all over the place.
Is this going to get banned?
No.
You mentioned
We haven't said one thing that is against community guidelines. I made sure to back up everything that I said. So,
all right.
Gotten a lot better at that. They've tricked me up a few times, but not this time, buddy. But guys, look, as usual, you want to say something before I do it?
God bless you guys. God bless America.
All right. And as usual, the silent majority need to stop being silent and stand your ground. Oh, and before I get out of here, don't forget, Jennifer is going to be on the podcast on Wednesday. She's tweeted about, I don't even know how many hundreds. I mean, the tweet went absolutely ballistic on Matt Wallace's page and everything, talking about the story this girl's sharing with you about an elected official right now that violated a young boy. And it's a very graphic story. And she's going to tell it. And she's going to tell you about this secret cabal of these people that are in powerful positions that are doing this to children, and how devices like CPS are used to help it along. And I don't want to get too much into the weeds, but trust me, you don't want to miss this. This is going to be an iconic Patriots Prayer podcast. So from there,
adult episode.
Yeah. And then from there, we're going to go from there over to the locals page and do kind of a behind the scenes, unfiltered, uncensored Q&A. With you guys, and that's where we're going to drop the names. We're not doing it here. We're going to have her tell the stories and all here and all, but we've told her withhold the names of the people that you're talking about in the stories. Come over to the locals, and that's where we're going to have the full. But you're not going to miss anything if you're just going to be here and watch it. Let me tell you, it's going to be a lot there. Just don't want her revealing the names here. We'll have it done on the locals page. You don't want to miss that. I promise you it's worth the price of admission. All right, guys. So as usual, the silent majority, you need to stop being silent, stand your ground. We'll see you next time on the Patriots Prayer. You guys have a good one.
My people love this country and we're under attack. They banned us, they cancel us for speaking the facts. If you man enough, come stand with us, take USA back. And every time we pull up, all you're gonna see is American flag.